The second Masechta in Seder Taurus, Maseches Alos, is going to span several of the basic areas of Tumah V'Tahara. We mentioned yesterday, as we were diving into Seder Taurus as a whole, that the study of Tumah V'Tahara is three major areas. One is the study of Avos HaTumah, the study of different sources of Tumah. The second area is the study of Kabbalah Satumah or Makabli Tumah, right? Items which aren't Tame in and of themselves, but can receive a transmission of Tumah, the Vlados Satumah, the children, as it were. And the third major area are the Darche Atara, how an item or a person who is Tame can possibly emerge from the Tumah, typically with mikvah, often mikvah plus other ingredients, and sometimes not at all. So those are the three major areas of Tumah V'Tahara. And the Tumah of Tumas Meis has a unique footprint in all those three areas. Maseches Alos studies Tumas Meis, particularly in terms of the Av HaTumah area, and also in terms of the Kabbalah HaTumah and the Mekabalei Tumah. So number one, there are three or four major uniquenesses of Tumas Meis that stand out, and there are the primary focus of Maseches Alos. These dinim are rooted overwhelmingly in the Pesukim beginning of Parshas Chukas. What we would have learned this year is Parshas Para, what we do learn in any other year as a Parshas Para, the Pesukim in the beginning of Parshas Chukas. The Pesukim there talk a lot about Tumas Meis. So the first thing that's unique about Tumas Meis, we began to discuss yesterday, the different Avos HaTumah, different sources of Tumah, differ from one another in terms of what their methods of transmission are, how they share their Tumah out with others. We mentioned yesterday, that's really the opening topic of all of Seder Taurus, the first couple of Mishnayos in the first parak of Kalim. The Sheretz only transmits its Tumah through Magas, through direct contact. Nevela, for instance, as we discussed extensively in the first parak of Chulin, Nevela can transmit its Ava Tumah, which can transmit its Tumah, can share its Tumah either through contact or through Masa. Tumas Meis is unique in that it can transmit its Tumah through Maga. If there's a person or a kli or food has direct contact with a mace, so that Tumah will be transmitted by Maga. Tumah can be transmitted by Masa, someone who's carrying the mace. That's someone in the Chevra Kadisha, someone who's at the Leviat, never had direct contact with the actual Gufa mace, but was one of the people carrying the Mita, carrying the stretcher the mace is on, so that the person becomes Tame via Masa. He becomes Tame from the mace via Masa. Then, of course, what's the famous method of Tumah transmission in the context of Tumas Meis, the one for which the Masechta is named, is Tumas Ohel. In addition to Maga and Masa, there's also a Meis Kimetam V'Tumas Ohel through the Tumah of a tent. That's based on the language of the Pesukim, Adam Kiyamos Bo'ohel. Torah says if a fellow passes away inside a tent, anyone, a person, a kli, food, drink, who was already in the Ohel or comes into Ohel afterwards, becomes Tame. So Tumah can be transmitted even though I'm not in direct physical contact, not touching the mace, nor am I lifting the mace, but I'm in the same Ohel as the mace. And Tumas Ohel comes, as the Mishnah is made clear, and the Gemaras and various Masechtas make clear, Tumas Ohel can either be one is Mahil on the other. Tumas Ohel could either be either the Davar HaMakabel Tumah, the person or the Kli, what have you, is on top of the mace. Right, so a fellow is walking through a Beis HaKvaris and he steps over the mace. So that's Tumas Ohel because I am being Mahil on the mace. There's the reverse case of the mace is Mahil on me. And then the most common case is what we call Ohel HaMashacha, where the Ohel extends the Tumah. In other words, I'm not on top of the mace is not on top of me, but we're under a shared Ohel. That's the most common situation. If I'm under, loosely speaking, I'm under the same roof as the mace, so that if a mace is under a roofed space, so if I'm under the same roof as a mace, so I'll become tamei. It becomes clear, much of the Masechta, this is an 18-parak Masechta, and the bulk of the Masechta is dedicated to sort of figure out the mechanics of how this Tumas Ohel works. Let's say you have multiple rooms. Let's say you have two roofs next to each other. There's a hole in the roof. So how does the mechanics of how the Tumas Ohel spreads? And it becomes clear the way Chazal understood it is that Tumas Ohel is like the metaphysical reality, but in a particular location. The way we look at it is if the mace is out in, like, right now I'm sitting, we would say tachas kippas hashamayim. I'm sitting here in the open air. So if there's a mace in the open air with no roof above, so then the tuma, it's called tuma ritzutza. Tuma goes straight up and the tuma goes straight down above and below the footprint, as it were, of the mace, because there's no ohel. So anyone who's directly above, directly below, will become tuma, as we said before. Mile on the mace, or mile, the mace is mile on him. However, if there's a roof above the mace, so then the tuma will fill the space covered by that roof. On the one hand, the roof will be chotzeitz, and then once the tuma rises up to the roof, it doesn't penetrate and keep rising above that ohel. So if the mace is in a room and I'm on the rooftop above the mace, I remain tahar because the ohel is chotzeitz b'fnei ha-tuma. On the other hand, the ohel will be chotzeitz vertically. The tuma cannot rise above the roof. On the other hand, the ohel will also spread the tuma horizontally. And once the tuma rises up to the roof, it then spreads throughout that entire room. And anyone who's to the side of the mace, not directly above or below, but under the same ohel, so the whole, it's as though the whole room becomes filled with tuma. That's tuma's ohel. A lot of the details have to do with how does it spread sort of to the next room. Does it spread to the next room? Has it spread to the next room? If it's wide open, it just keeps going and going. But if there's a door and the door is closed, so that might be mafsek. How about if there's a small opening? And some of the details, intriguing details of Maseches Olos in terms of this first topic of Tumas Ohel and the mechanics of Tumas Ohel. The second major topic, which comes up at the very beginning of the Masechta, is to define, as we discussed yesterday, often with an Avat Tuma, you need to define who or what constitutes the Avat Tuma. And here in particular, well, you would think it's pretty straightforward, Tumas Mace. So you have a Mace Adam. So one of the major topics that the Masechta focuses on in the opening, some of the opening Mishnayos, is let's say you don't have a Mace Shalom. If you have a complete Mace, so the Mace is Metame. But let's say, Rachman, let's learn the maces in pieces. You've recovered some limbs. You've recovered some blood. Sometimes that could be the result of Rachman, it's not a very grisly situation. The question is, how much of the mace what's the shear? How much of the mace do you need in order to transmit tumah? So in terms of the definition of tumas mace, of a part of a mace that's metame, so there are two major factors that come into play. One is it depends what sort of tissue we're dealing with. There's one shear for how much bone, several shear for how much bone do you need in order to be metame, a different shear for how much blood, a different shear for how much soft tissue, and so on and so forth. And the other wrinkle in terms of defining an item as a metame of tumas mace is that there's actually a two-tiered system. There's a two-tiered system. You mentioned before that mace ki metame b'mag uva masa uva ohel, but the Mishnayos tell us that you need much less, sometimes need much less material from the mace to transmit tuma b'mag uva masa. Ohel is more of a chiddush, so you can need a much larger percentage of the mace in order to transmit tuma as ohel. So what that means practically, I'll give you an example. The Mishnayos say, dealing with bone, let's say you have a skeleton or part of a skeleton, so you need a pretty sizable percentage of a human skeleton in order to metame tuma asolol. But to metame tumas maga, tumas masa, Mishnayos say, even etzem kisaora, a little piece of bone the size of a barley corn, if you've ever made challenge, you know how small saora is. Etzem kisaora does not transmit tuma, but would transmit tuma b'mago uva masa. If you actually touch it, you actually move it, you actually step on it. And that gives rise to the din drabanan, which is the last parak of Maseches Olos, the din of Beis HaPras. If there was a field that had a kesada shenechash ba kever, of an area of land where there had previously been a kever, body decomposed, but there must have been bones left. And then, Rachman Islam, that area was disgraced and it was plowed over. So there's no longer a tumas ohel, because the mace is spread. But at least midrabbanan, we're concerned about tumas maguv amasa. If I actually walk through it, or that I may, there may be small pieces of bone. Etzem kisor is not something I would necessarily recognize from several feet away. So maybe I stepped on it, maybe I moved it. So that again speaks to the differentiation sometimes in terms of how we define tumas may, what constitutes a mace. We sometimes differentiate between how much you need for tumas ohel versus how much you need for tumas maga uvamasa. So far again, we discussed within ahalos, so within tumas meis, the focus on how that tumah is transmitted, and particularly some of the mechanics of tumas ohel is fascinating and complex. And number two, in terms of the definition, how much of meis do I need in order to constitute a tumas meis? Another unique aspect really takes us from the world of Avos HaTuma to that second section of Tumas Meis, which is the Makabli Tuma. Let's just give a little bit of background for a moment. We'll be getting in some of the later Masechtas of Seder Taras, we'll be diving more deeply into the world of Makabli Tuma, that second section of Tumas Vatara. But you'll remember, those who learned Bava Kamma, and that's all of you last year, will remember that the Gemara on Daf Beis tells us, based on many Mishnayos, that when Tumah gets passed on from an Av to a Tolda, so and it can go from Rishon to Sheni to Shlishi, as you get more and more steps removed, further removed from the Av Tumah, the degree of Tumah decreases. The degree of Tumah decreases. So a Rishon LaTumah, the Vlad HaTumah that was Makabel Tumah from the Av, is not as powerful as the Av itself, and then sort of it gets further and further downplayed. So what's fascinating, we'll get into more details, what's fascinating about Tumas Meis is that Tumas Meis is extra strong, stronger than any other Av HaTumah, in the sense that when a Meis is Metame something else, that something else has the strength of a normal Av HaTumah. It's a little confusing. In other words, if a fellow goes to a living person, goes to a funeral and becomes Tamei Tumas Meis, let's say with the Ohel from the Meis, in the same funeral home, under the same roof as the Meis, so you would think that you would think that the Meis is an Av HaTumah, and the fellow who went to the funeral, the living person went to the funeral, is a Rishon LaTumah. And therefore, for instance, he cannot be the living person cannot be metame kalim, cannot be metame other people, can only be metame ochlum mashkin, which is the normal rule of a Rishon LaTumah. But Tumas Meis is an exception to that. But Tumas Meis, the living person who went to the funeral, we call him the Tamei Meis, someone who became Tamei from the Meis, he himself has the strength of an Av HaTumah. So that's a uniqueness of Tumas Meis, in terms of the impact as a Makabli Tumah, and that's why the language that Chazal used for the Meis itself is Avi Avos HaTumah. It's a grandfather, so to speak, of Tumah. What that captures is that when it gives Tumah off to someone else, that someone else will have the status of an Av HaTumah, so Ki'ilu, as though the Meis itself is an even higher level, and Avi Avos HaTumah. And finally, the fourth point you also came across last year in Bava Kamma, and this year, at the beginning of Maseches Chulin, the fourth and final point for now is the idea of Cherev Harei Kuchala. The Gemara Darshan is based on Psukim in Parshas Chukas, that not only is it true that the mace is an Avi Avos HaTumah, so to speak, in other words, the mace transmits Tumah down to a person, that person becomes an Av HaTumah, not a Rishon LaTumah. But it's also true that when the mace touches certain types of kalim, it doesn't even go down at all. Cherev, harehu kachalal. The sword, as an example that the Torah gives, of a metal kli that's in contact with the mace, the sword will have the same exact status as the chalal, as the corpse. In other words, if a metal kli, if certain types of kalim came in contact with the mace itself, the kli also has a status of Avos HaTumah. So if I don't even become tummy from the mace, I just became tummy from the watch. Consider the following example. We'll continue the example from before. A living person goes to a funeral. So the living person himself, Chiddush number one, is a Av HaTumah as opposed to merely a Rishon LaTumah. Chiddush number two, if that living person was wearing a metal watch when he was Ba'ohel HaMace, when he was in the funeral parlor together with the nifter, so the living person becomes an Av HaTumah. the metal watch is actually an aviyavos hatuma, the exact same level as the mace itself. So if I did not, I'm a kohen, I did not go to the funeral. But I now stand, the fellow who went to the funeral now walks into my house. So I'm under OL with him. So the person, he's an avatoma. He doesn't have the capacity to be metame ba'ohel, only b'maga. And even if were I to shake his hand, I would become a rishon l'tama. Because he's an avatoma. He touches me, I become a rishon l'tama. But if he walks into my house with that same metal watch that he had worn at the levaya, the metal watch is an aviyavos hatuma, which means, number one, that it can be metame ba'ohel. It's the same methods of tumah transmission as the mace itself. And number two, in terms of the level of tumah, that watch is an aviyavos hatumah, and therefore if that watch comes into my house, it transmits tumah ba'ohel to me, even though I don't touch the watch, and I become an ava tumah. Fascinating. Touching the fellow himself, he's an av, and I will become a rishon, bimaga. But that watch, this is this fourth din for today, this uniqueness of cherev harei kochal, that quirk of tumas mace, that it transmits from the mace itself to certain kalim. The kalim themselves become an aviyah vosotoma. They don't drop down a level to avatoma. Or for that matter, if you have a living person who's an avatoma, right, the fellow who went to a levaya, if he touches his, you know, picks up a metal kli subsequently, that metal kli will also become an av hatuma just as he is. So that's the uniqueness. So again, we spoke about four major issues in terms of tumas ohel that are a focus in Maseches Alos. Number one, the fact that tumah, the mace can be metame in many different ways, not only b'magu v'masa, but even b'ohel. They spoke about some of the mechanics of how tumah is spread through ahalos, through an ohel, including an ohel hamshacha, and the question of derech halon and spreading from room to room, and how big is the hole, and so on and so forth. The second issue is the definition of what constitutes tumas mace. How much of a mace do you need? And as we saw, we actually differentiate sometimes between how much of the mace do you need, particular tissue material from the mace, how much do you need for ohel, might be more than how much you need to be tied more directly through maga or masa. Number three, we spoke about the fact that the mace functions as though it were an avi avos hatumah. Now, when the mace passes on tumah, let's say to a live person, that live person, he's called a tumah mace, and he himself has the status of an avatumah. He's not the source of tumah, the mace was, but he is metame, he can metame adam v'kelim just as any avatumah can. And then we saw the fourth uniqueness was the idea of cherev harehu kachal, which appears in the very opening mishnayos of the Masechta, that if when tumah is transmitted from the mace to certain kalim, or from a live tumah mace, avah tumah, to certain kalim, they don't even drop down a level. They have the same level from aviyavos to aviyavos, from av to av, the same level, and also if they become an aviyavos atumah, they will also have the same methods of transmission. The kli that came in contact with the mace functions as an aviyavos hatuma and ki bivitame b'mag v'masa u v'ohel. There is more in Parshas Chukas about tumas mace that does not appear in this mesechta, because we touched on tumas mace in the world of avos hatuma and tumas mace in the world of kabbalas hatuma. But in terms of tumas mace is also unique in terms of darche hatara, how you can remove a tumas mace, but that is not the topic of Maseches Alos. That's coming up a later 10-minute Masechta. That's the topic of Maseches Parah.